Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
My guest tonight is a very funny comedian you know from Oh Hello, Big Mouth, and John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch. Please welcome John Mulaney.
Hey, Stephen.
Hey, how are you riding out the quarantining?
I'm very lucky to be riding it out well, yeah.
Yeah,
how about yourself?
Me too. Very lucky to be healthy, very lucky to have a job right now that I can still sort of do.
Yeah, you do. You do have a job now.
Yeah, yeah. Legally, they have to pay me.
I feel, there's a lot of terrible things happening. There is a nice amount of camaraderie in that we're all doing the same thing at once.
Is that some solace for you that you're not alone? Humanity is doing this?
It's at least at best it's a comfort, and at most it's a delight, and at least it's a delightful like curiosity that do you know what you, me, OJ Simpson, and Meg Ryan have in common? We're all quarantined.
Briefly had a relationship with John Mellencamp.
True, yeah. Man, mm-hmm. OJ did not. If only he'd written a song about that, but we're also all quarantining.
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert, Telly Savalas Jr.,
sure.
Banksy, all quarantining.
The Dalai Lama?
Is he? Good. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I got to imagine, why would the Dalai Lama break the rules? That doesn't seem his style.
Though
the Chinese might have a different
rules,
thing to say about that.
He breaks
that.
Rules when they're worth breaking.
Sure.
Yeah. I wonder where he's staying. I haven't even thought about the llama.
He's not crashing with me.
No? He hasn't made it down there yet?
No, but I bet he'd be a great house guest.
He's always giggling. One thing I love about him and Desmond Tutu is they're always giggling.
That's not great.
What?
That's not great.
That's a great thing.
Adult man giggling might be upsetting after a while.
I don't know.
What?
In small doses, it's lovely.
Let's hear your giggle.
Let's hear yours. Yeah, that's nice.
Okay, a lot of people are having odd dreams these days.
Yeah.
And I understand you've had a few. Let me tell you mine really quickly because I'm the guest tonight. I dreamed that I had to do my show, but I had to do it someplace where no one could find me.
Oh.
I'd be in trouble if anyone could find me, but I still had to do my show. Doctor?
You'd be in trouble if anyone found you?
Like the cops would find me doing my show, but I still had to do the show and broadcast it somehow, but not any place the cops could find me.
That's yourself. Some part of you is conflicted about performing and, cashing in, I'm kidding, about working during a time like this. So your inner moral compass, perhaps maybe a superego, maybe too far to one extreme.
Sure.
You want to hide from that part of yourself that says, why am I making my children join a union and be my PAs?
Why must the show go on?
Why must the show go on? Very fair question.
Enough of me, as fascinating as I am. Please, John.
That is a good dream, though. And having no training, I knocked that out of the park.
Yeah.
I wrote down a dream to tell you about, because I'm perplexed by it, for real.
Wow. Not every guest brings notes. Wonderful.
No, please. iPhone, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Apple.
Hey.
Yeah.
There you go. Come
Steve
on.
Steve Jobs, you know? Okay. So here's the dream, Stephen. I do an interview about Rob Reiner, who I don't know in real life. And I have worked with Rob Reiner in some small way. I am uncomfortable during this interview because I don't know him well enough. And I am self-conscious that I will say something wrong. in this dream, as best as I can remember, Rob Reiner is Rob Reiner, the director. Okay, I tell the interviewer three things, one of which I think Rob Reiner might find too candid. So then I see Rob Reiner at a reception in a room with lots of floor-to-ceiling windows. It's not all glass. There's some light wood, too. He has read the interview, or he is almost done. He mentions the first two things of the three things that I said. He does not mention the one thing that I was nervous about. Then he asks me to drive him around to see the cherry blossoms, which are in season. We are in the car. There is a sense we cannot get out of the car in a semi-COVID quarantine way. Yes. I keep pulling up super close to the cherry blossoms, like we'll be under a tree and the blossoms are touching the windshield. I wrote, note, I am controlling the car from the passenger seat, but it's a regular car. I keep saying, look, Rob, there's a cherry blossom. He does not seem to acknowledge that we are seeing them. It's slightly annoying, but I am still too nervous that he read the full interview, so I'm being overly polite to him. I am exhausted at this point. We pull into a driveway, much like the kind I would see in my neighborhood of Greenpoint when I was younger. I point to one. It's 4:30 on the clock. I fall asleep the way I normally do if I'm riding in the passenger seat of a car. I wake up. It's 6:30 on the dot. Rob Reiner hands me a pill that is a medication. In the dream, the pill is a medication I give my dog for acid reflux. He hands me the pill and he says, wake up. And then I woke up.
Well, the first thing about the dream that it gets right is that Rob Reiner is very demanding. he'll ask you to do all kinds of things, and then you do it for him, and he's like, "Ah,
yeah, I don't."
That's
like
one.
This. Yeah,
that
yeah.
one is. I'm surprised you don't know him because that's very much what he's like.
I don't know him. No,
you know he's lovely. He's a lovely guy. You know
he was in
All in the Family.
Yes, he's in All in the Family, and a great director too.
Yeah, he's done other things since then. You know Washington well, evidently, because the cherry blossoms are going mad right now.
The cherry blossoms have been. They bloomed a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Okay. I think it's an anxiety dream.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're showing Rob Reiner the cherry blossoms, and he's not having a good time? That's anxiety.
But that's not the anxiety. The anxiety is that you have said something to upset someone you admire, and they may or may not have heard what you said and will not reveal to you, and therefore either lance the boil of the anxiety or eliminate the boil of anxiety. They won't say it to you, and so the pressure of the anxiety grows because your ignorance about the degree to which you have hurt their feelings, if at all, has it keeps secret. It festers like a secret, like carbuncle inside of your heart.
Yes.
I think you should just call him.
I think I will. I'm sure it's about my parents, but I'll also give Rob Reiner a call.
Yeah. I'm a little upset with you right now.
Go ahead.
You haven't said anything about my hair.
There's
nothing different about you? I have combed my hair from the other side. I normally comb it this way. It's gotten so long, I had to do something different. I combed it the other way. And I was about to ask you, the next question is, your hair looks great. And I went, no, his hair. He hasn't said anything about my hair. Your hair does look great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And the thing that I'm glad to see that it looks great, because when I was thinking about everybody like protesting to get their hair cut and everything and people getting shaggy, I thought, I can't imagine John Mulaney shaggy.
No, don't care for it. Not judging it, but don't care for it.
Are you breaking the rules? Are you going to a secret celebrity barber? Why do you look good?
I charter a plane and I go to Wisconsin and I drop in and get a cut. No, my wife, Anna Marie, was a makeup artist and hairstylist and still gives me fantastic haircuts. So she gave me one a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And I don't know why. I don't like having facial hair of any kind. And it doesn't like being on me. So
Can you grow a beard?
I can have hair on my face.
Have you attempted to grow a beard?
I have attempted to grow a beard, and it looked like that magnet game where you drag metal dirt particles onto that bald thing.
Woolly Willy. I believe Woolly Willy is what you're trying to pick up.
His name Woolly Willy?
Woolly Willy. Well, look, because you can do his hair, And you can do his face too, yeah.
I never could do, I'd have to lay it flat and do something. Now, I apologize, by the way, my perspective on you, see, I think in my head I thought, since we're all Edward Snowding it these days.
Yes.
I think maybe I thought I had a flipped perspective. I'm sorry for not noticing the part. How does
you
it
can tell it goes back way further on this side.
Well, see, that's not a thing I would mention.
I'm really ready for like a lobotomy scar. Like I'm like that guy, not Chuck Heston, but the other one who gets captured by the apes and they cut out his brain. Have you seen Planet of the Apes?
I have, yeah. I'm
that right there. Also, I'm getting a very Sam Neill from Jurassic Park vibe in a way. Yeah. Has this work? Does this work?
Oh, yeah.
Ready?
Very much so.
Ready? Did that work?
Yeah, it did. That was fantastic.
Good. All right, good. Hold on. My ear thing just came out.
Mm-hmm. Did you okay. Would you grow beards during things like the Writers Guild strike?
Yes. No, yeah. I didn't do it during that. I grew out my eyebrows. No, I did not. I did not do any of that. I grew it between the two shows. I grew it
you
between
did.
The
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the, you know, sailor on shore leave look.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you enjoy that?
I kind of did because not having, like, shoulders wider than my hips, it's my only, like, secondary male sex characteristic. It's the thing that, like, goes like, yes, that's, you know, because old men and old women begin to look alike as the way young children look alike as you get older. And I'm getting old enough that I want something to go, that's definitely not an old woman.
Well, you're not old at all, but I do know what you mean about that age when that sort of Tony Curtis age where you're like, how are you?
I would love that mane of white hair that he had.
He had what? Did he have a? He did not have a hairpiece, but he insisted on growing his hair such that it always appeared he had a hairpiece.
I don't know. I don't know. I'll ask Jamie.
Okay.
You call Rob Reiner. I'll call Jamie Lee.
That maybe, you know what? Maybe I've just done the very thing I was afraid of, which was share too intimate of a detail about Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis. If you have a dream about Tony tonight, let me know.
Hey, what'd you say about me?
That's a pretty good Tony Curtis.
It's a pretty decent Tony Curtis.
He's no longer with us, is he?
He's not. He passed away.
So you're speaking ill of the dead.
Am I speaking ill, or am I wondering if he, like millions of Americans, like billions of Americans, have used a hairpiece? But I don't know why wigs, all these people are showing their roots on TV, or maybe it was just one woman I saw. But I do think wigs and hairpieces should come in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because if you didn't like the length of your hair, if it's getting a little too much, mm-hmm. you can just braid it or bald cap it, wig cap it, and then wear a wig from one of America's great wig makers.
Here, ready?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Talk about a magic trick.
Illusion! We have to take a little bit of a break, John, but if you can stay there, hopefully the audience will also stay there, and we'll be back with more John Mulaney.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, D. Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcast.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
everybody, welcome back. I don't know if everybody, I hope everybody welcomed back. We're here with John Mulaney. He's still here. I'm still here. The least you could do is stick around. So you and your compatriot, Nick Kroll, of course, famous for Oh Hello, your award-winning show on Broadway.
Yes.
Did it win awards?
No.
Okay, should have.
The Tony Committee, the Tony Award Committee had a meeting to decide whether or not it counted as a play, and it didn't.
What was it then?
It was a special presentation.
But what, that's better than a play. It should get a special Tony.
You can if you're very powerful. Like a lot of times you're, again, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but you're Elaine Stritches would do a special presentation and there might be a category for that. But our year there was not. But yeah. You were a guest on Oh Hello and you were fantastic. And
was like, I had a lovely time. I had a lovely
time. Really, really fun show that night.
And now you have a podcast. You and Nick have a podcast called Oh Hello, a podcast, I understand.
The podcast, yeah. P'D. And it's those two gentlemen are examining the life and death of Princess Diana.
AKA, that's what the whole thing's about.
Yeah, the whole thing is just what they know about Princess Diana and mm-hmm. talking to a variety of guests. We've had on Pete Davidson, a psychic yeah. named Ferruccia, John Oliver, yeah. And then one episode, and we've been working with Ira Glass, or George and Gill have been working with Ira Glass throughout it. So each episode is about 17 minutes.
Yeah.
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 And it's
do you need, do you need anybody to?
Are you Tech Avail?
Tech Avail?
Are you Tech Avail? That means technically available.
I'm Tech Avail.
Steven, you're
I'm Tech Avail. Now, John. Last time we talked a lot about anxiety. Have you transitioned to Zoom therapy?
Yes, I've been doing, I've been seeing my therapist over Zoom twice a week. And I want to say this with all sensitivity to the truly terrible things that are happening with this virus. She did say to me recently, I think people with your brain are thriving right now.
What does that mean?
I think that I thrive under the government kind of parenting me and saying, you know, you can't go out. You can't do anything. I take great comfort in being told I can't do anything. And it's
or see anyone, right?
Or see anyone, but you're not lazy or antisocial for doing it. You're following the law.
You're being a good guy.
Yes. I have no boundaries and I need them.
Do you ever ask how your therapist is doing? Because I try very hard not to.
No, I do now. I always have, and I love my therapist. I've seen this woman for a while, and she's great. Since this all started, it's been an interesting phenomenon where I might say, you know, how are you? And she'll say, well, you know. And I go, yeah. So I like that. That helps me to know that, like, She's not having a great time, you know?
Yeah. But then again, I'm thriving. But then again, if she's not having a great time, maybe you haven't been that entertaining.
I know.
She's not that happy to see you. Like, I've seen this one before. What else you got?
A lot of times she'll
that
say
that again? Really? That emotional scar?
Yeah.
Come on. You got to move. Get some new material.
I said to her once, I know this is kind of cliche me, and then I told a story.
My therapist is very nice. She won't ever reveal whether I've told her the story before.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She'll go like... But do you start sweating it halfway through?
I totally feel like I've told the story. She's like, no. If it's on your mind, just tell the story. It doesn't really... Because it's not storytelling.
Yes, of course. Right. No, it is. If you wanted to tell that story in that moment.
In this moment, then you should tell it.
There's a reason you're telling her that.
But that's torturous to me, and I'll tell you why. It's because I'm one of 11 children, and as a child, and maybe still, I was a terrible storyteller. I would put in far too many details. I would just drag everything out forever, and my brothers and sisters' eyes would roll in their head, and their tongues would loll out on the couch waiting for the story to be over. And one day I heard my mother saying behind the kitchen door to the rest of them, you listen to his stories, okay? It means so much to him that you listen. He loves it when you listen. So to this day, if anyone is listening to my stories attentively, I'm like, Mom got to him.
Wait,
Mom got to him.
Were you a kind of like breathless like this one time, these guys like that, like you every detail.
No, you just saw. Grind you on the details.
Oh my god.
So anyway, I saw the dog at the end of the street, and there was a brown dog. It was like kind of a reddish brown dog. It was like head spots. It was okay. So it was like the ears were. Well, John Mulaney, at a certain point, legally, I think I have to stop.
I know, I understand that. But when this is all over.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'd love to drive you around the cherry blossoms when this is all done.
Please. Well, I'll check in with Rob first to see whether.
Yeah, I should really.
See what that was like.
Do a makeup job like. With Rob.
Well, I wish I had a pill I could give you right now to wake you up. But thank you for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers to you.
You can listen to Oh Hello, the podcast now.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.